Turn with me, if you would, to Jude chapter 1. I cannot imagine a greater message to be preached before this verse of Scripture. I honestly cannot imagine a better message. I don't believe I could have, if I had a say in the matter, I don't believe I could have selected a better message before this verse of Scripture. I want to emphasize one word in Jude, verse 24. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless. This is my own little Selah. I believe we need a Selah right there. If we had all entered in to what our brother just said, amen. I agree, so be it. Just the thought of our Lord Jesus Christ being able to present us, not just redeemed, not just justified, faultless. Faultless. Could you imagine being faultless? Knowing that everything he said is so. It's so. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory. We're talking about the glory of the throne of God Almighty. I'm not talking about before brethren or before. We're talking about before the presence of his glory. And he's able to do this with exceeding joy. I think I'd like to just sit down. That saying, Christ is able to remove all fault from us. All fault, all guilt. He's able to remove all guilt from us so that there is nothing left on us or in us that could bring blame or shame or regret or guilt. He is able to present us faultless. Now, I don't know about you, but that's good news to me. The gospel's good news. Good news. I preached from this in Kingsport, and I told the brethren there that I told the children there that they may not be able to enter into this like the adults can, because it takes a little while to learn the fact that you're a sinner just like we are. You got to go through some things We try to protect our children, but the Lord's going to let them sin just like He let us sin. And if He's merciful to them, He'll reveal to them what they've done and what they are. And that will pierce their heart. They'll say, "I'm the man." But all of us have things in our lives that have scarred us. I mean, we sin all the time. We sin all the time, all the time. But we all have things that have cut us so deep. Things that we have done. Things that as time goes on, our minds have held on to. Reoccurring memories, and they are like worms that die not. Every time they work their way back into our minds, we think, "Oh man, not that one again. Whew. Oh, not that one again." Daily we know that we're sinners. Daily. But there are some regrets that we have that every time they enter back into our minds, we think, if there was ever any doubt whether or not I'm a sinner, that settles it. My goodness, I'm a sinner before God. I mean, I'm the kind of sinner that I don't know if I could ever find anybody worse than me. Well, you look good on the outside. Thank God there's no window into my heart. I am a vile, wretched, wicked sinner before God. All of God's children have experienced that or will experience that. One of the two. If God's Holy Spirit comes to a person, He will convince that person, "You are a sinner." And this is how sin works with a sinner. This is how sin works in a sinner. This is how the flesh tries to deal with it. The flesh, the heart, the mind of a man or a woman says, "Maybe nobody will know. Maybe nobody will find out. Maybe word won't get out on this. Maybe those who do know have forgotten about it. Maybe if it's not talked about, maybe if it's just not thought about, maybe it'll just go away. Maybe it'll just go away." But the problem is it won't go away. It keeps coming back. And we try to tell ourselves, "Maybe I'm overreacting. Maybe it's not as bad as I think it is." But here's a problem. The shame, the regret, the guilt, it won't let us believe that. We try to say, "Maybe it's, you know, well, that was what it was." But the shame and the regret won't let us believe that. No matter how badly we wish we could go back and change it, we can't. It's done. It's done. We're guilty. And we have no choice but to acknowledge that to God. You know what I'm talking about. We get to that place where after all the thinking and the worry and everything's done, we just stop and say, "Ah," like David said, "Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done deceitful in thy sight. Whatever you do with me, you're right. It's my fault. I'm at fault before you. I'm at fault before you." Now, if you know what I'm talking about, some people don't. But if you know what I'm talking about, then this gospel message is for you. This is for me, and this is for you. Verse 24 says, He is able. Now unto Him that is able to keep you from falling straight into hell. And to present you faultless, without fault, without wrong, without sin, before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy. He is able. Tell me if you don't think this is the greatest news you've ever heard in your life. He is able to undo all of the blame that haunts you. This man, talking about a real man with a real ability, he is able to erase all the shame you feel. You talk about the glory of heaven, the glory of eternity. We try to think of what it's going to be like to be physically sinless. We just can't. But it has something to do with no shame, no regret, none. He's able to remove all the fault you and I are trying to hide. We know we can't hide it from God, but we're trying to hide it from each other. He is able to present you openly, without hiding, openly before the all-seeing eyes of God, the eyes that see without and within. He is able to make you stand there spotless, pure. That's what this man is able to do. Nothing, I'm telling you, nothing for all of eternity. Nothing could ever be brought up or be remembered or come into mind that could possibly condemn you before the throne of God. This is the absolute truth. This right here is the absolute truth. The gospel is for the guilty. The gospel is for the guilty. The gospel cries, take that burden of guilt and that burden of shame that you are carrying around because of your horrible sin. Take the blame of it. Take the shame of it. Take the regret of it. Take the whole burden. This whole great burden that is dragging you down into the depths of fear and despair and sorrow and condemnation. You take the whole burden to the Lord Jesus Christ and leave it there. He said, I'll take it from you. What a man. What a man. He said, I'll take it from you. The shame, I'll take it from you. The blame, I'll take it from you. The guilt, I'll take it from you. And he says, I'll do this because I've already taken the punishment from you. I've already taken the wrath from you. I've already taken the judgment. I've already taken the penalty from you, away from you, by laying all of it on myself. If you from sin really are longing to be free, He alone is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy. Just look to the Lamb of God. The gospel is the most freeing thing that a guilty soul could ever hear. Nothing is more freeing than the gospel. Our Lord said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." Just like Adam and Eve, they sinned against God. And what's the first thing they did? They hid from Him. They sewed some fig leaves together to try to cover their sin, and they hid from Him. They tried to hide who they were. They tried to hide what they'd done. But God, in love and in mercy, exposed their sin to them. That's what He did. In love and in mercy, He exposed their sin to them, and then He slew a lamb. And He covered them with the skin of that lamb. And in doing that, He said to them, "I'm your lamb. I'll take that sin from you, and I'll suffer this judgment right here. Do you see this? I'll suffer this judgment for you so that you can take my innocence, my spotlessness, and you can stand faultless before the throne of glory." The gospel is for the guilty. It is for the guilty. He said, "I did not come to call the righteous. I came to call sinners." The Apostle Paul said, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners." He said, "Thank God, because I'm the chief. I'm the chief." Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. First Corinthians 6, verse 9, it says, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but you're washed. But you're sanctified, but you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." Washed, sanctified, justified in Christ. Look with me at Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians 1 verse 3 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that..." "We should be holy and without blame before Him in love." Holy and without blame. Look at Ephesians 5. Verse 25 says, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it, that He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that He might present it to Himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. No spot, no wrinkle, no blemish, without or within, in body or in character. Paul said, I have espoused you to one husband that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. Martin Luther said, every time you insist that I am a sinner, you call me to remember the benefit of Christ, my Redeemer, upon whose shoulders and not mine lie all my sins. There's a dear man in the church there in Kingsport. He's been attending now for about 3 years. And he saw us on our TV broadcast. And from the moment he came, he's just been such a blessing to me. This man, he's just dear. He's just a dear. First time he saw me, I pulled up at the service and he was parked in the parking lot. And he was looking and I got out and he came up and he said, I know you don't know me, but you're like an old friend. Came up and hugged me, first time I'd ever met him. But from the moment he came, he was worried about his sin. He had a sin problem. And he wanted to come with us because we were dealing with it. We talked about it a lot. And he wasn't hearing it anywhere else. They weren't getting to that issue he needed to have dealt with. And he wanted to come and talk to me a lot. And he did. He'd come by my study a lot. And I'd ask the Lord to give me wisdom and what to say to him. But he needed and wanted to ask the same questions. And he needed to get his mind around now. And he really, really wanted to know, but what about my sin? You know, what about, well, how come I still sinned today? I mean, I thought I was supposed to stop sinning. No. It's all of our sin. It's even the sins we haven't lived out yet. Cradle to the grave. Well, yeah, but what about this thing that I did back when, I mean, this man was worried about his sin. How wonderful. I wish I was as worried about my sin as he was worried about his sin. But anyway, we have a Bible study and then a morning message. And he came up to me, pulled me aside one morning before the Bible study. And oh, he was just torn all to pieces about his sin, what he had done, what he is doing, what he thinks he might do. And I said, Danny, cast your all on the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ. You look to His blood. You plead His blood. You don't plead any reformation, any change of works, anything you've done. You just beg God for mercy. Anytime that you're feeling this fear and this worry, you go into your heart and you beg God for mercy that He provided in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, okay, mercy. Okay. So we had our Bible study. 30 minutes later, between the Bible study and the morning message, he pulls me into my office and he said, how much mercy does the Lord have for me? I said, it's infinite. I said, it starts over brand spanking new every single morning. And he just belly laughed. He busted out laughing, just laughing. He said, that's the greatest news I've ever heard in my life. I said, me too, brother. That's the greatest news I've ever heard in my life. In Christ, there is hope for every soul that is hopeless. In Christ, there is liberty for every soul that is bound. In Christ, there is purity for every soul that is filthy. And in Christ, there is blood for every soul that has sinned. Amen. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is for anybody who's guilty. Anybody who's guilty. David said there in Psalm 51, I've done this, but he said, if you purge me with hyssop, I'll be cleansed. He said, if you wash me, I'll be white as snow. I'll be white as snow. I think it's just time to stop. How glorious is it? It says, now unto him that's able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. The next verse says, to the only wise God our Savior be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. All right.
Stand and sing.